Maher probably, if you had to look at it and you had to be very careful about it, it looks like he may have actually eaten something. In a fun little way to get around things, it looks like he already had some food on him, like maybe a protein bar that managed to withstand everything that was going on. So,
impressive.
He ate it, but he also put an open cup filled with those sedative crumbs in his bag. So, 2 plus 2, he might have had some. And it looks like crumbs was enough.
2 plus 2 is fish, and now he's unconscious.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Santa specifically doesn't know what wakes him up. Santa just got woken up by something that, like, he really wanted to be awake for. Overtime probably would have worked if Doug was actually here.
Another thing that would probably work would be Margaret.
Yeah, she's also not here. Looks like he's safe, though. And it looks like, with the amount of magic that's in him, funny enough, man is, like, immune to mind control and any mind sort of magic. This is, like, baby aspirin levels of effective magic. This is like he drank too much coffee.
Mog crashes so easily.
He just, like, magical sensitivity? Turns out, he's not very good with edibles.
Coward.
Duncan will duly note that.
Oh, this edible Lord. Ain't shit. I'm asleep in the Baba Yaga house.
Before I forget, how do you spell Minerva?
M-I-N-E-R-V-A.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I had to make that note, or I was going to forget.
Oh, Holmes as well. She took a little bit of time, but that basket full of presumably her memories, she absorbed the last one, and she just kind of sits there. And then something distracts her, and she gets up, and she grabs something, and she moves over. Specifically to, are Luke and Duncan together right now, or are they off doing their own thing? Goes up to Duncan, and she hands you something for you to look at. It's that corrupted, like, burnt Viewmaster reel. The one with the photos that were impossible to look at. She holds it up to you, and she looks very serious, and she says, can you fix this? I think it's really important.
He's going to take it. This would be a really good time to have the discussion of how I think Duncan's magic works.
Sure, go for it.
So, unlike Luke, who has a paramount of magic inside of him,
mm-hmm.
I think he more or less manipulates the magic around him because he never had that.
Okay.
So it'd practically be the opposites.
Mm-hmm. He takes magic in while Luke generates magic from somewhere.
Yeah.
That's actually really funny because of how, who knows? Maybe somebody was listening to Joanne, but the natural way that magic operates is very close to how Duncan uses it. Technically, Luke isn't breaking any rules, but from a logistical standpoint, if anyone were to do an autopsy on Luke, it would be very strange trying to find where that magic is coming from. Because he generates it the way that a nuclear power plant generates energy. While Duncan is pulling from magic around him, Luke just gets it from somewhere. Which totally violates, like, the law of the conservation of energy.
Luke just breaking laws of the universe.
Yeah.
But still somehow being with the laws of magic.
But Duncan, roll me a plus weird.
Yes, Duncan will roll plus weird.
Oh, as well. I'd say the two of you also see this happen. What do we get?
10.
10! Alright, on a full 10, whatever had harmed it, you can see it revert back and move backwards as though you were watching a piece of paper be lit on fire and then rewound. And then you have a full Viewmaster reel in your hands. And you can kind of see inside the pictures. I don't remember who had the Viewmaster reel specifically, or if somebody gave it to the kid, but it looks like it's fixed.
I'm pretty sure it was given to Holmes.
Did you just rewind time on an object?
It's not impossible.
You still rewound time on something. Like, it'd be one thing if you fixed it. No, that looked like you rewound time.
He reverted an object back to its original state. Did I give Duncan the power of Golden Wind Requiem? Maybe.
No, that's Crazy Diamond.
Oh, shit, you're right. Oh,
he saw it done once, and now he could do it.
Requiem brings all...
He saw it done once! Sucks the
No. No, Nat was the JoJo reference of Endless Death.
Oh, that's right.
He's the JoJo reference of Fix It All.
We're in part four now. So, she gets that back. She goes to put it on. And then she before she can put it all the way on, she gets kind of nervous, and she pulls it back, and she says, I'm going to look at this in a second. You guys are going to go, right?
Yeah.
Maher, too?
Yeah, we got to bring him with us.
So, wait, is this Holmes talking?
Yeah. Says, so I'm going to have to say goodbye, right?
Not necessarily.
Well, now I'm confused.
Alex and Holmes have the same layer of confusion on their face.
Isn't she...
I talked to the...
Bobby Yaga.
You talked to the hostess?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Hostess. Made a little bit of a deal. So you'll actually get to experience what it's like to be alive again. Oh. Maybe it might be nice for you.
Her eyes blow out a little wide, and she puts the Viewmaster on one of the side tables, and she just kind of, like, stares, like, kind of blankly. She's like, well, I got a pack.
You'll have to get used to eating, not just sugar.
In the middle of you saying that, she kind of like turns around in a circle and starts tap-tapping down the hallway to go get some stuff.
She can feel hungry, I'm sure she'll be used to it.
She's only been eating sugar here, is the issue that I'm concerned about.
Minerva comes by for a moment
I could be fixed,
not any sort of physical
she
form,
won't like it, but
just kind of a cloud of misty smoke. And she says she'll be able to experience the physicality of being a human again. She'll be able to touch things. She won't move through objects, though she didn't know that she could. Life is going to be kind of a new sensory experience for her. I don't think she'll get overwhelmed, but just make sure she brings all of her games with her.
Right.
She plays so many board games.
She's going to lose her shit when she sees a video game.
Probably.
And then the misty smoke just kind of moves around. Sharp, sharp, sharp. Willard. I'll tell you what happens.
I'm done.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus fuck.
Cody, you want...
Is it two sixes?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Because if it's not two sixes, then I think Alex gets it.
I roll 2, 2, 2, 1.
I finally zoned back in while holding the egg.
Duncan just got done adjusting magic, so for once he's kind of just not paying attention. The smoke mist cloud moves past you, Willard, and there's just a light, small, like a breeze, like a gentle puff of air. Something tousles his hair, just a little bit. It feels like a cold ocean breeze, but it's comforting.
As for you, Alex... I'd like to talk to you in private for a moment.
Alex looks like he was about to throw like lightning at you.
Oh.
Sorry. I saw your hair tousled and I worried.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, wait. That's a conversation that could actually be had because they know about that. Duncan will want to have a conversation with Minerva.
Okay, alright. So let's do this one first. I don't know where exactly you want to start it. But whenever you want to go for it, and then we'll have the conversation with Minerva in a little bit.
Okay.
Alright. Sure, we can talk in private.
Before we start, I just real fast want to put the image in everyone's head of while everyone's doing this, while you're talking to Minerva, while Willard and Alex are talking, there
Holmes
is a suitcase, a giant, like, wonderful-looking old suitcase.
I kind of hope
opened
she
up, set on top of Maher's sleeping body as she throws a bunch of shit into it.
Wonderful.
Love that.
That's all.
Yeah, he's gonna walk off to the side with Alex. I'm gonna explain to you a little bit about that deal I made.
Yeah,
I've been keeping
deal.
A secret from you for a while now. I'm dying a lot faster than most people are. I have cancer, and I've been taking treatments to prolong it for quite some time now. Holmes is... young, and I've been buying more time for myself, so I figured why not use that for a little bit less selfish reasons. So, with her going there, I have about 8 years left before I end up back in this place.
Well, just because you end back here doesn't mean we can't just kind of grab you out.
Yes, it does. Unfortunately.
A little bit of additional context. I'm going to assume you read the contract. They classify it as a funny enough, rather human language. It's called a Class A soul-binding contract. It's a very common form of contract, which actually, based on the language, does not need to be arranged between the person selling their soul and the person buying it. Which, dubious on its own, this one isn't, because this one has language that is specifically, you know, you as the person agreeing to this. So in that instance, that's fine. But what it says is, you die. Moments before you actually die, your soul is taken from your body and brought back to whatever realm it is destined to go to. And as per a soul-binding contract, you are essentially a part of that realm. You can't just get taken out of it unless, and this is a very specific type of loophole, unless the other half of the contract ceases to be.
Once I end up coming back to this place, I'm more so part of it. Kind of like how Holmes is. I'll be able to visit you guys on very, very rare occasions, be it. And it's not going to be me there. It's going to be like messages in the sand, almost.
That's dumb. I'll just come visit you.
That's also not quite as easy as you'd think.
I don't know, because I never had... I'll be honest with you, Willie, I haven't actually tried to leave, and I haven't tried to get in. I don't know if I can or not.
Alex is about to open a door to the damn ocean.
Alex is the reason why the events from the first, like, game happened.
Me just having a nice rest in Florida.
Plot twist.
I wonder if I could.
Plot twist, Holmes is Nat.
Oh, it all makes sense now.
It's all coming together.
Well, yeah, that works.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway. How long did you have to begin with? Well, how long have you had cancer?
For quite a while now, actually. Since about 5-6 years after we met. Didn't want to tell you, because I didn't want you worrying about me. I know I don't show it enough, but after spending as much time around you as I have, I've more so grown to think of you almost as a son.
Well, for starters, waking you up early now seems very weirder to me. Okay. So, just so I get this straight, you still do have 8 years left to live, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Then, how long does the kid have?
That I'm unsure of.
As part of the deal, what this was a, it's a trade of lifespans. Everybody that got brought back is going to live to what they were supposed to live to. What this means for Holmes is she will be able to live the full life that she never got to.
Okay. Trying very hard to be on the bright side about this. And also, I can't be... I'm upset, but I can't be angry either. Because I know why you did it, and it makes complete sense.
Should have just traded Ma her soul.
Poor sneaky
on. It's not like he could reject.
Me signing in Ma her's name.
Well, I'm not going to be upset about it right now. For now, I'd rather just let it go. For now. I'm sure when that time starts to creep in, we'll be a little bit different. But for now, we still have about 8 years.
That's
one which way is to still look at it. A lot of time.
That's one way to look at it.
And besides, you know how I operate. I like to live in the moment.
I know. So I figured I'd give you a heads up instead of...
I do appreciate you telling me instead of disappearing one day just out of the blue.
Not too keen on telling the others, but I at least owe it to you.
What about the kid?
Well, don't want to spoil her fun. She's still young and she's got a lot of her new life ahead of her. Don't want to make her upset and almost regret the life that she's been given now.
The suitcase isn't going to hold all of the shit she has.
It's like the classic cartoon overstuffed.
Yes.
About to explode.
With the straps and everything.
Hell yeah.
Alright. Then, a bigger question. Well, a concern. What about your father? I don't exactly know what's going to happen there, since I don't know anything about him.
Well, when I do die, there's no doubt about him at least being at the funeral, so you'll have a chance to get further acquainted with him then.
He tried to steal your body and walked off a lightning bolt. I don't know how I feel about being acquainted. What did he want with your body anyway?
I have no idea.
Nothing?
Not a clue. My father hasn't contacted me for quite some time now, so I have no idea. The only thing I could think of it being is the contract I'm sealed in with Oberon.
Your what?
Don't worry about that.
Willard, for additional context as well, I don't know if you ever brought it up to him. It would make total sense if you never did. Never, when you got back from those experiments, never a mention of it from Royal Senior. That being said, you had injuries, you had weird things happen, you didn't start having those dissociative episodes until after that happened. Treated it like everything was normal. As far as you were aware, you don't know whether or not he even knew that that happened.
I can't just let that one go.
I think I figured out where your cancer came from.
What deal did you make with Oberon?
Well,
that's the guy who slaughtered her family.
I know.
So,
at this point, that's probably going to be null and void due to the fact that I'm in another contract. However, I would have to check out the finer details. And that's going to take quite some time to do, because Oberon's contracts are laid out in near gibberish. They're just enough to be legible, but that's about as far as it goes.
Willard, what was the contract?
Well, if I'm going to be honest with you.
You still have it in your coat.
You can look it over if you'd like. He's going to pass it over.
I'm going to look into the contract.
Sure. As you open it up, it doesn't create any harm, so I'm not going to have you make any harm. It burns to the touch in your hands. It's not burning, it just feels like it. Like you're touching poison oak.
Willie, look away for a moment. I'm gonna hold it with my real hands and look at it with my real eyes.
Okay.
I'm a real boy.
I'm rather upset. I'm just not showing it.
That's fine. That pain vanishes, and you're actually able to read it extremely clearly now. As the script on the page itself actually fades away, and you see the real contract. This is not a soul-binding contract, fortunately enough. It specifically doesn't have any clauses about returns. It doesn't have anything about upon his death. What this is it is essentially an... what's the term for it? It's an agreement of transfer of service. What this is in exchange for what was already tendered, so something that was already paid for, in exchange for a favor that was given to Willard. Willard is supposed to kill you. Willard was tasked with the assassination of, and you see down there, funny enough, because you weren't born in the Fae world, and you don't have any experience talking to literal angels, you see your true name, which is still Alex, but it holds a little bit of weight, considering if you run your finger over it or if you look at it long enough, that word feels tied to your very soul. And then once that's fulfilled, the contract is up. It doesn't say when, it doesn't say where, and it doesn't say what was tendered.
He's going to place it on the ground because he can't hand it back to Willie right now because his hands.
Yeah.
And he re-glamours himself.
Alright.
You can pick it back up.
He's going to put it back in his pocket.
Everything seems normal.
For the future, by the way, no one else can really hold that.
I know.
It will burn them. Do you know what you did, Willie?
I do. It's another reason why I took this contract.
Oh, Luke, as well.
So you can avoid killing me?
Yes.
Only a plus tough.
Why does he want me dead?
I haven't the faintest idea.
He told me before that he was going to be my future enemy as well, and currently it looks like he was right.
For some reason, though, despite his high status and how stuck up fairies can be, for some weird reason it seemed like he almost respected me or something.
What was the favor you asked him for?
I think I might have been in this place a little too long because I haven't the foggiest idea currently.
Alright. Though, I will admit, it is rather concerning that I was able to read that so clearly. And that it didn't burn to touch anymore.
Yeah, I'm not asking questions that I don't want answers to.
I want answers, but not that bad. I think it's better just not to talk about Oba until we leave. I won't tell anyone about anything we talked about. And for now, until your last, I'm going to say year, actually maybe even 6 months. Year, so we have time to plan around that. Then I will start to worry. In the meantime, we are going to just continue our normal relationship until then. Okay?
Sounds good to me.
Everything's fine.
It may sound unhealthy to others, but I think for us it's fine.
We have a mutual understanding.
Besides, I have no idea what's in this egg. At least he's going to give birth rather soon, I'm going to imagine. Soonish. I really don't want to think about this right now.
Yeah, you do have a lot on your plate right now.
Which is impressive for me.
Luke, what'd you roll on the plus tough?
That's pretty good, Luke. Let's have a minus one.
10.
You had a minus
on
one.
A 10, you don't take any harm. You still have unstable marked?
You should.
Should?
You're dead now. Double unstable.
Yes.
Okay, good. Don't do anything to that.
Okay.
It is still unstable, but as far as you're aware, nothing's changed. Forehead stings, but it's been stinging. You got your head scratched. Duncan, you find that wispy cloud of smoke mist picking things up, dusting things a little bit, and also, like, reassembling what looked to be like broken apart skeletons and a couple other different things. It actually begins to also look a bit more modern, you know? Like, it looks like more effort is being put into the appearance of the house now, rather than just kind of left to let itself go. But yeah, you find her.
Minerva, may we have a conversation?
The smoke mist gathers itself a little bit, but it doesn't make a human form yet. And her voice comes in those layers. What can I help you with?
My brain immediately knew what I wanted to say, but then it's just like... Bleh.
Sorry, would it be better if I moved into a more standing form?
No, this is fine.
Okay. I'm trying to enjoy the formlessness until I have to walk amongst the rest of you when we get there.
Oh my gosh.
There is something that I remember that I don't believe Luke remembers. That being someone who I do believe to be a goddess crying out for help. This happened many months ago.
You don't see anything, but you can kind of feel a static electricity from the area where most of her cloud is at. In fact, if you're careful and you can feel it, the arms on your... the arms on your hairs... the hairs on your arm raise at the same time that little strands of hair slowly just float up just a little gently towards the magnetic direction of that cloud. And you see her cloud form condense and then darken. And she says, tell me more.
I have to believe that they may be connected to Luke specifically.
Mm.
And they used water to communicate with us.
Why?
The other detail that is most prevalent in my mind is their black and white hair.
Mm. Water. Are you at all familiar with the strange life cycles that precede many fae?
No.
When humans die within the human world, they have a soul, and that soul goes somewhere. I haven't done too much research, because I usually snatch them, the ones that I need, before they make it, but technically that other world has its own form. When my sisters were hunted, some of them disappeared. Some of them turned into trees, and then those trees were burnt. So it all depended on who they were. Some of them turned into statues. And the statues that were destroyed, I have, unless it was in one clean hit, or two or three, I have barely any chance of bringing them back, simply because I cannot put every single piece of dust back together. But if you're seeing one, that means that somehow, despite the fact that her visage, her statue is shattered beyond belief, somehow she's still holding on. I don't quite know how to take that information, and I don't want to hold up too much hope, but if she can hold on without that physical connection, maybe the others are still aware. Maybe they're still, if they're not aware, maybe they're around. There was another sister that we had. She was magnificent and beautiful and incredible. And when she died, it took the spirit out of most of the rest of us. But there have been rumors, and truthfully, it's part of why I crossed through the oceans itself. There have been rumors that she is still in parts and pieces somewhere within your human world. And if she is, then maybe it's possible for others to come back.
I believe there is only one way to find out in this scenario, and that's by doing it.
Doing what?
Seeing if we could find the pieces.
Hmm.
But if my better question is, if it's specifically tied to Luke,
mm-hmm.
would Luke be hopeful in this scenario?
Sometimes. People are often conduits for things that they don't quite understand. Even though he may not be aware of it, it may be important to keep an eye on him. In the meantime, though, she whisks most of her smoke body up and away through one of the open windows and up, and then she flutters back down, and she has a couple different old-aged pieces of paper. She says, these are hypothetical areas where I've heard some pieces of bodies could be. I've had my theories for a while, but you may be able to use this a little bit more than I can. Although I don't know where they are specifically, you're usually looking for two kinds. Some goddesses, in order to preserve themselves, split up their mind from their body, disconnected the essence of who they are from their physicality. So you may find pieces of body, and you may have found something that, although it is human, may have something bigger hijacking it.
Interesting. Start it with, I apologize, but there's one more question I must ask.
Hmm.
Melody, if I'm correct, Melody was the one who gave away her mortality. Is there a way to get it back?
Pardon? Your friend Melody didn't give away her immortality. Your friend Melody, I don't believe, is immortal.
Then...
she may believe she is, but... trust me, I would have known.
Then who was it?
She was, I think she said, an old teacher.
Joanne.
Yes, yeah. Funny enough, to find an immortal that I've never met or heard of before. I suppose that's what happens when I fall behind in the times, though.
She also is extremely well at hiding under everyone's radar. A skill that...
it's a valuable skill.
I'm amazed of. Well, if it's Joanne, I feel like she's been around so long that it may just be better for her to rest, or be able to rest when she does pass.
That's fair.
I would hate to see her go, but that's fine.
Have you ever asked her what she thinks she is?
No.
Strange. I've never pulled... I've pulled lifespans from people before. It's not a cost that I enjoy taking, specifically because it has no tangible physical symbol. But I can usually get a gauge on what a person is by the kind of life they live, and what a person is by the kind of lifespan that they have. And I will admit, she's a bit curious. Immortality is... It's singular, and it's not usually finite. It's infinite. But it is also a declarative kind of statement. When you're immortal, that's it. There is no physiology to it. There is no technical concept of aging. You know, you don't... I age based on every question I hear, but that's mostly just aesthetic, because when you age, when you cannot die, it becomes a numbers game. So to take immortality away from something is to take that whole idea. I've never seen someone who could regenerate a lifespan. That is the only way I can explain it. Like dumping out a glass of water and setting it back down and having it slowly drop by drop fill back up. Granted, I don't know if that's going to be enough for her, considering how old she potentially could be. But if I've seen everything, except for that, I'd be a little curious.
Does the glass not fill anymore?
The glass is a bit cracked, and it looks as though, as a person that cannot die unless under very specific circumstances, keep yourself away from most high-level fae if you can. The idea of pain and suffering is uncommon and unusual, and usually, like, some fae have weird quirks about it. Like, some people get hurt by salt, or, I don't know, a burning candle. Weird things. And not even just the fire, just like the wax. Or iron. What is that about? If you're like the Fae, and you're like me, pain doesn't matter and damage doesn't matter. It's almost as though some human has found a way to give themselves immortality, with the caveat being that they can still be murdered. That's the word that's used, murder. Like a very brittle glass, but it can still fill.
Interesting.
Although if that was the case, I'm sure she would know. From the look on your face, it looks as though she has not told you.
I mean, there is one thing I can say for sure. I'm pretty sure I saw her eat a magical bug and revert a couple years younger.
That sounds impossible.
I saw it with my own eyes, I'm pretty sure.
She reverts into a more human form, and I'll send a picture over. And she says, you say that as though it's a normal occurrence. You can't just... rest of my family. He was able to take their power, and that makes sense. I have never in my life heard of the concept of someone regenerating themselves based on eating something else. You either have immortality or you don't. The concept of extending the lifespan, okay, maybe once in a while, maybe some higher level mages, you know, they maintain their youth, they maintain their appearance, they, you know, your longer living mages, they can attack and eat other magic users. That's fine, because it's finite. You have to continue filling that well. This is automatic. There is no in-between. So I don't know how to quite describe this, but it's as if her, on her own, if she remained inert, could naturally regenerate her own capacity to live forever. When, in most realities that I've ever seen, it is either you live forever or you do not, and you consistently try to live longer. So realistically, she should be in that one category. The fact that I saw it naturally refilling itself, despite the fact that, yes, that did in fact take a lot out of her, and she's going to need a lot of time to recover, never have I ever seen anything like that. I know this is a funny question to ask, considering most of the beings that you probably encounter aren't human, but do you have any suspicions that of the fact that... Are you actually aware if she's human or not? Has anyone ever asked her?
If anyone did, I would doubt that she would know herself.
How could somebody with this much eccentricities go unnoticed for so long? It feels like it's incorrect.
I mean, I imagine they had countless lifetimes to be able to master the hiding game.
Well, that's fair. And then, as everyone is in the house and talking, there is a ringing from a small, looks like a Nokia telephone.
Apparently it was a good ring. I would have left the room.
I guess you
got a call exactly as you said that.
Goddamn. But as you guys are having that conversation, the phone does go off, and she pulls out a little Nokia cell phone. Did I send both of you the picture of what she usually looks like?
No.
The, like, okay, amongst humans forms? Then I'm going to post it in the group chat.
She
picks up the phone, and she answers it, and she says, yes, I'll have everybody right away. I don't know if the house is going to be able to withstand going in that... Well, no, I understand, but this is also a matter of the house staying together. Okay. All right. And then she just waits. She's, okay. I understand. And you see her, like, put the phone back in her pocket and just breathe out very slowly and begin to rub her temples. And she focuses in and she says, we're about to arrive.
Right.
And then Holmes comes around the side. And she says, the old man's still asleep. Is somebody going to carry him?
Sure.
I'm going to pick him up.
Holmes has got so many bags.
Hold on. He said he got it.
Duncan's got it?
Duncan is a vampire, so I see why not.
Roll tough.
This is going to go poorly, but sure.
Let him cook.
Maher dies.
Maher falls in the ocean.
You break his neck.
It's not that bad, it's an 8. So he's not carrying him, like, gracefully, but he's getting the job done.
He's getting the job done.
I'm just curious, hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nah, I would have done way worse. Hold on, Christ.
If we're just going,
we're just going
if we're just
it.
Checking who would have done the best. With my minus one as well. I would have done a total of 6.
Maher's getting dragged. He's not like he's not gonna get hurt, but his clothes are getting a little roughed up.
It's fine. They're just clothes.
Does not wake up. Very similar to Santa.
You are carrying him by his head, right?
Well, got his arms underneath the arms.
Yeah, my point is you're dragging his legs.
Yes.
Walking backwards, dragging him. Holmes uses both of her little arms to carry two very full suitcases, one of which you're pretty sure you heard a honk from.
What did I hear? Because I speak the language, remember?
It is something that Holmes herself cannot repeat until she gets older.
But what did I hear? The Hulk.
Oh, you heard a giant fuck.
Shh. I Hulk back. Shut up!
As well, Minerva kind of looks at, right before you guys leave to head down out the pier, kind of looks at Holmes and says, like, you know, you can come back if you want to. She's like, oh yeah, this is all my travel stuff. I need this. This is another, just a small, like, shuffle of what's definitely a fucking, a trapped waterfowl in one of her giant leather suitcases. No, I need all this.
I'm gonna get her some suitcases with wheels.
It's a good idea. I wonder when they invented those.
So, what, we just go out the door and we're there?
Minerva opens the door, and it appears as though the porch is now leaned down in an area that just barely touches the edge of a cliff, but the top of it. It's got grass up top, and it looks like it's mostly a flat plain. Hey, this is an easy one. If you get a mixed success, I'll even give it to you. Everybody roll me a sharp. Soft mixed. Sharp.
11.
8.
What is this sharp?
Sharp.
Not a hard one.
I was going to say, what is his sharp? And I got the answer sharp.
It's a sharp mic.
So that's going to be an 8 from Luke and a 12 from Duncan.
All right, Dunkachino, you see, almost immediately upon looking down, one, there's this barely imperceptible mist. It feels magical in nature. And no one else seems to be looking straight at it, so most likely. Either that, you're going crazy.
Oh, we're going to hear the bell.
But you look down as it begins to get more opaque and towards the water, and then in the water. In fact, it may be its brightest alongside what could be the ocean floor. There's a giant ring around the house. It's got several circles inside of it, and a couple of what you can only assume to be lines and angles and symbols. And you pick up the fact that you guys are in a column of, it's essentially, it's bright orange. That's the one thing. That's the bigger thing. Anybody with a success may also notice, one, the house is bowing, like with knees bent to lean forward. It also appears to be straining under some weight, and depending on whether or not you guys move back into the house, you may notice something happen briefly before it is very quickly lifted off of you, which is a pressure that kind of builds along the base of your spine and goes up to your neck. But the second it happens, it almost immediately lifts itself off of you, with the exception of it looks as though the house and Minerva are straining. But as long as Minerva stays in the same place that she's at, she seems okay. Everybody else.
What happened to our phones?
You're not quite there. You're not quite in speaking range yet.
Oh, no. Well, no, not them.
Oh.
I asked her. I just realized that we didn't have our phones. We were in her house.
Oh. She summons a little drawstring velvet black bag. They were going to fall into the ocean. I grabbed what I could. I don't know if I grabbed all of them. She opens it up to the rest of you. Oh, who's going to be the unlucky son of a bitch?
Get your D4 out. Michael counts for two.
Michael counts for two.
Wait. Oh, D6 then.
D6. On a 6, I roll again.
Yep.
So, 1, 2, 3, 4. Other guy, 5.
It's other guy!
Oh, it's a 5.
Doug lost his phone!
Maher lost his phone.
That's what I wanted.
Well, fuck, it's gonna wake up at a completely different location. No phone.
Has to take a medical leave.
Half fucking zonked. Damn, Maher going through the fucking works right now.
He's seeing the Hat Man. Shit happens when you see the Hat Man.
Suddenly it's not safe here.
Oh, suddenly this isn't a safe space?